Northwest Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode 87. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, once again joined by Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you, my guy?
Doing all right, man. Good evening, Crossroads listening audience. Good to be back.
Yeah, you're doing better than half of these concert goers tonight downtown, apparently.
Yeah, everybody's a little pissy. Cardi B's going to be rescheduled to September 11th, but hey, you know.
Called off 37 minutes before the start of the show.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Cardi B, so a lot of craziness downtown tonight then, I guess. John, there is an OAR concert downtown tonight, so you got that still if you want to go.
I'm going to probably miss that one too.
Okay. All right. I hear you. What a beautiful day. Week in sports. John, a lot of awesome things, and I guess I can play the track. It's been a while, but I can finally play it.
Uh-oh.
Football.
It's upon us.
Is back.
It's upon us. Yeah.
And when we go through the week, it's going to be nuts. Nothing better. When you hear that song, you think of Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, the football gods themselves. Training camp has started for all the teams. I've reported we've got a few injuries. We've got a few holdouts. Quite a bit going on, John, in the league. So you want to start with the hometown Colts?
Well, the hometown Colts, as reported just earlier today, Andrew Luck is not practicing. He was supposed to be on limited practice anyway. But he's not practicing when he's supposed to practice. So it's kind of raised a couple of eyebrows or ears around here. I wouldn't put it in a total panic. I wouldn't. And I'm not going to give you, it's training camp, for goodness gracious. And for secondly, we want Andrew Luck upright in January. Well, not before January, sorry. But, going into January, not necessarily worried about July. So if he doesn't necessarily feel 100%. He said, I listened to his press conference today, Brandon. He said he doesn't want to be average. He says if he had to play right now, he'd play or he'd practice if it's a regular season game, going into, but he doesn't want to be average. So you kind of have to, from a Colts fan perspective and what the Colts are trying to tell us a little bit, they have high aspirations.
Right. Let's
playoff run. But that's why I look at the Colts.
Yeah, real quick, let's play that clip. Actually, I got it right here.
Andrew, there's a fair amount of confusion, I think, because obviously this conversation started in May, and we were told very, very clearly that it was very, very minor.
Yeah.
And, we're two and a half months into this. Can you talk about the nature of the injury at all, at least?
Yeah, no, I did a disservice to myself by saying I'd be ready. I think there's another thing I tried to learn with an injury is things... Bodies don't care about a date on a calendar or something. I certainly wish I was out here. But the nature of it is a calf strain. And I say lower leg because I feel pain in my ankle area and calf strain. And I guess I'll get a little specific. I've had images and x-rays and everything, and my Achilles is not at extra risk. There is no tear or swelling in there or anything that's indicated. But it's a calf strain. And we're on our feet a lot, and I know to be the best quarterback I want to be, to help this team like I want to help them, I'm not looking for average. And if I'm going out here with pain, I'll be average. I will feel like an average quarterback, and I'll be an average quarterback. That's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for this club.
Without getting too detailed into this.
So there it was. Now, John, I have a few complaints about this. So, number one, your quarterback – is supposed to be the healthiest when it comes to summer routines. John, this happened in May, and I've heard it by four different sports reporters on TV today and on the radio. A calf strain does not take 3 months to heal if you're going to sit a guy out. Does not take 3 months if that's what it was back in May. Also, there are several doctors that have mentioned on Twitter that do pain injury and injuries that if he is feeling pain in his ankle area, as he just said, it's not a calf strain. I'm sorry. That's they're deeper than that. That's ankle surgery. And it could be also Achilles. And we've talked about with Achilles how it was with Kevin Durant and how the Colts are probably going to keep it very, very safe compared to what happened. But I don't buy it. I think you need to push the panic button a little bit because it's not like he's been practicing every week. Another injury when he was off season, and it hasn't healed in 3 weeks or 3 months when it's just a strain. Strains are supposed to heal in less than a month, John. This is 3 months now.
Nobody ever said Andrew Luck was Wolverine. No, did we? He's not a rapid healer. He's not the rapidest healer, even when, you know, they're dealing with all the other nagging injuries that he's had to deal with over the course of his career. I just don't put the panic button on it, man. It's July. He started training camp. If we were talking about Brett Favre, we'd be like, as long as Brett shows up 2 weeks into training camp, it's good to go. You know what I mean? I'm just saying by comparison. I know, you know, things are a little bit different, but I think it's not nothing. I don't think it's anything necessarily to panic just yet.
Well, in two days it's not July, it's August. So where's your panic button now? Because he's still not going to be practicing.
He'll practice.
So, all right. Other than that, Colts are practicing. Jabal Shears out with a little bit of an injury. Looks like he'll be missing at least the first or two preseason games with an injury. I think the Colts play next week at Buffalo, I think I saw. So you don't expect him. Don't expect Andrew Luck to play the first week. I'm going to go ahead and say, John, I don't think you see Andrew Luck the entire preseason. Not at all.
You've laid it down, huh? Well, I can't say that.
I can. The guy's hurt. The guy's hurt, and we've had this run around before where he said, it's not a big deal, and then it ends up being a season ender, and he has to have the spinal fusion. We've had the whole thing. Here, let's take a call real quick. We got a call.
Sure, let's take one.
Crossroads Sports Radio, who's this? Hello. All right, didn't answer. Well, I guess a little too shy, so we'll move on. must be a little too shy. NFL news around the league. The Giants, John, speaking of hurting, Corey Coleman tears his ACL. Sterling Shepard breaks his thumb. Golden Tate suspended for 4 games. The Giants thin at wide receivers, and we haven't had Week 1 yet.
Could put a whole lot of more work on Saquon Barkley, ain't it? To be as incredible as he was last year. The Giants are not surprised. They're not going to be a great team. We know this. You know, will they probably squeak out 5 wins again? Probably. But we know they're not going to be a great team, and the injury bug is not going to help them. And with Golden Tate, and that's kind of bizarre, man. He admitted to it, but they still gave him like 4 games. It's like four.
Yeah.
Or was it 5? They say those four games. So, there's the next man. You know, there's a second stringer, third stringer, just, you know, waiting to chomp the bit to get the chance to start. So I'm sure they have. Until like last year, and then with this getting rid of Odell Beckham, and I think that was kind of more of a we know he's a special kind of guy, likes the spotlight on him, spotlight, limelight, sunlight, anything, any light he likes on him, right? So I don't necessarily think that's where the Giants are kind of moving towards as an organization. So they shipped him out, but it was a whole lot of drama. You know what I'm saying? With him being there and with him out. So did they get fair enough exchange in return? Nobody really knows. Scouts say that they know, but they don't know until what you see, what, you know what I'm saying, gets on the field. Giants, and then, of course, the quarterback situation, they've been picking, you know, Jones, overpicking, like, you know what I'm saying, just kind of showing the whole card when they could have got Jones in the later round. You know what I'm saying? I have never really questioned player moves with the Giants until kind of like get to the point, Johnson. I am right now. But There's really no panic. It's really no big deal because nobody. I'm just being honest with you, Brandon. Nobody expected the Giants to be good this year anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agree.
I know the people in New York don't want to hear that, but they don't expect the Giants to be good this year anyway.
Yeah, I don't expect them to be very, very, very good with their group. Looking else around the league, Zeke Elliott, not present at Cowboys camp. Still has 2 years, 14 mil left on the table. He's in Mexico, in Cabo, as the team is reporting. Where's the new deal? Yeah, and Jerry Jones says, a rushing champion doesn't win a Super Bowl. You don't need a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. So it looks like...
Does Jerry know what it takes to win a Super Bowl? Does Jerry
know? I think so.
That's a good stat. That's a good take from Jerry Jones. You know what I mean? I don't think Adrian Peterson, in all his years he led the league in rushing in Minnesota, I don't think they ever sniffed the Super Bowl, much less the championship game. So I kind of get where that's coming from. But is Dak Prescott is anywhere near Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Aaron Rodgers in quarterback play? I'd say no. So, like, what kind of team do you think you're going to put together here, Jerry Jones? Without a running back who's led the league in rushing 2 out of the last 3 years.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people are sitting out, whether it be injuries or they just don't want to practice. You know,
he's trying to get a restructure. You know what I'm saying? Before to get paid. You know what I'm saying? Why take up all this wear and tear? You know what I'm saying? And then get paid a year and a half from now. But I think they should work something out because they need the Cowboys. The Cowboys, like I said a couple weeks ago, they have to win this division. And, I mean, Philadelphia might have something to say about that because they're not necessarily ready to relinquish the East. But the Dallas Cowboys have to win the East this year. They have to.
Several things. Derrick Henry, injured calf. He's out for 2 weeks. A.J. Green had to have surgery. He's out at least a couple weeks of the regular season. You've also got Julio Jones, who is going to sit out the entire preseason. The quote was, I don't need preseason. I practice how I play. So Julio is out. That's more of like a safety issue. A lot of people haven't been injured so far here. And, you know, are they taking care of their bodies the right way? Who knows? But I'm seeing a lot more early injuries. Melvin Gordon expected to hold out into the regular season as well. He wants a new contract. Chargers are saying no. I think they get a deal done before the season starts, but we'll see more time on that.
Right.
Mike Tomlin, surprise move, I guess, by the Steelers, went ahead and extended him just 1 year through 2021 with an option. Tomlin, as I've said it plenty of times before, this is a make or break year for Tomlin. He needs to. They have to make the playoffs after missing it last year. You've got rid of two good players, which, yeah, that can hurt your program. But this is your chance where you have to make up something. And apparently, a couple silent majority owners wanted them not to extend the contract, but Rooney said, yes, we're going to extend. I like it. It's okay. Give him another year. See what he does. I think there were some changes that needed to be made within the coaching staff. I think some of it's been made, but this year's kind of a question mark year. I mean, you still got Juju. You still got Ben. You still got the defense. They added some guys. Let's see what happens. I think it's a crapshoot. I still think we win the division, the AFC North, but it'll be tough. But, yeah, I think it's okay. Are you all right with the Steelers extending Tomlin?
I'm all right with the Steelers extending Tomlin. They'll be somebody that they have drafted, that they developed over the summer, that's developed right now in training camp. That would be a guy that we all will have on our breasts by the end of the season. This is what I'm predicting. That's what they do. That's what they do. I couldn't see Big Ben playing for anybody else.
Oh, absolutely not. He'll retire, Steeler. Speaking of retiring and then, well, not retiring, but not being with the team and then getting back with the team and having actually had a good year. John, Adrian Peterson, is he broke?
Man, I can't believe that, man. Can't believe Adrian. I can't believe it. But apparently he owes some people millions of dollars.
Mm.
And he can't pay it. It's wild.
Little baby MJ, all that gambling.
Yeah.
Can't pay.
Wow, man.
So, okay. We are, I think, I'm trying to think the actual date. I think it's Thursday. It is this Thursday. So this Thursday on NBC, folks, we have the very first game.
Hall of Fame?
The Hall of Fame, the Denver Broncos.
Wow.
The Atlanta Falcons. Get your pen and paper out. Get your sports bets in. If you've been missing football gambling like I have, get it ready. Hall of Fame game this Thursday night, NBC, will be your
you
fix.
You actually bet on the Hall of Fame game?
Hell no. Hell no. The last time I bet on the Hall of Fame game, it got canceled. And it was the Indianapolis Colts game that got canceled. So, hey, what's your thoughts on Pat McAfee joining ESPN to broadcast the college football games?
How many jobs is he going to have? Evidently, the thing they work out with NXT and WWE is.
He's still there.
Oh, still there. Okay.
Yep. Yep. He's still there.
Interesting. I mean, he's a colorful kind of guy. He adds, you know, humor. I think he's funny. I do. I don't think they have to worry about him going potty mouth. He does appeal. He probably does appeal to a 20-something year old audience more so than he appeals to somebody. I'm not gonna sit and watch Pat do stand up, but you know what I'm saying? You've seen the videos of him doing it and whatever. He is definitely transitioning to being more of an entertainer. But I think he also kind of knows that his bread and butter of entertainment comes from the sports world. You know what I mean? You can't just be jumping into NBC, ABC, CBS, and hey, I'm Pat McAfee. I used to pump for the Colts. Nobody cares. You know what I mean? So, but I think it's cool. We'll see.
He had a private workout.
With who? WWE or who?
No. The Chicago Bears officials came down to work him out for kicker. Apparently, Pagano and all of them are ready to sign him this summer. And there was some stuff with his leg apparently that came back, and the Bears kind of passed on it with his knee injury that McAfee's had in the past. So, but no, he's flirted with coming back.
I didn't know he flirted with coming back.
Yeah. Yep. He said he wouldn't mind coming back if the right gig. So.
Okay.
I guess we'll see what happens with that. More to tell. John, it's finally official. T.J. McConnell, officially an Indiana Pacer, signed his contract on the 29th of July. I guess it's been a formality, but they were just waiting him to get back from vacation and then fly to Indianapolis, put pen and paper. Edmund Sumner signed his contract as well. So two more Pacers on the squad as we go kind of into the dormant period.
I think you're in love with the guard rotation that's going to potentially be out there. With the Oladipo injury, a lot of there'll be some more of the younger guys that get bumped, especially if Holiday starts playing like he played in summer league. There's gonna be immediate bench play for him. But I think you're kind of loving the guard play. I'm not saying you're in love with it. I think you have some love for it because, like I said, you were kind of one of the first people that said that you wanted the Pacers to go after T.J. McConnell, and he does great. I mean, I wouldn't say great, but he's known as a shooter in the league. I can't necessarily say great shooter. So him on he's on a 1 year deal, right?
Or two years, seven mil.
Him on a 2 year deal with this veteran laden squad. You know what I'm saying? Pacers fans, you should be happy.
Okay. MLB, we're getting ready to go into August, final 2 months of the regular season. The MLB trade deadline is coming up this Thursday.
There's a lot of people trading. Nobody buying trades though. People like the Mets are scared. The Mets are scared to trade players to the Yankees.
Yeah. Cubs made a trade. The Cubs upgraded their bullpen. They traded with Dave for David Phelps in a trade with the Blue Jays. Yeah, right-hander. It wasn't a huge pickup, but still a pickup nonetheless. Also, I can't think of, God, I always forget the guy's name. World Series MVP for 2016. He's back working as a AAA, getting ready to work his way back up. But, yeah, there's some rumors of trades going to go on, and some of the guys talking about being traded, Madison Bumgarner from the Giants, Trevor Bauer, Yasiel Puig from the Reds. The Reds may look to trade Puig since they're falling out of the playoffs. So he only had 1 year left. So somebody would possibly throw up the Reds some talent and try to use them for a stretch run. Robbie Ray is another one. The Brewers and Astros and Yankees are interested. Yankees, John. Yankees had a huge lead going into last week, and they lost 3 out of 4 to the Red Sox. Defending champ Red Sox making a run. They're 9 games back, but Yankees sitting 8.5 up currently. Minnesota is only up 2 games on the Indians. The Indians have kind of caught fire and started catching the Twins. So we have a nice race there. Just 2 teams. White Sox 17 games back, so it's just the Indians and the Twins for the Central. The Astros are up 8 on the Oakland A's, and then the rest are 13 and 14 back. So that's your American League side. Your National League side, you've got the Braves right now up 4.5 on the Nationals and 6 on the Phillies. At some point, the Phillies, I feel like, have to turn it on. I think they're going to make another trade at some point to try to add some more pitching to their team. It's not working for them. I'm really surprised Washington is beating them. Especially with them losing Harper and Philly getting Harper. And then some other names that Philly has gotten, they still just can't put it together. But then the NL Central, you've got the Cubs and the Cardinals both tied for the lead, 56 and 49. You got the Brewers who are in game back. So you got 3 teams separated by 1 game. And then the Reds, 6.5 back. And then the the Pittsburgh Pirates, John, you're Josh Bell. They've fallen off. They've lost 9 straight. They're 10.5 back in the Central.
I jinxed them.
You did. The NL West, Dodgers up 14 on the Giants. But the Giants have won 7 of their last 10. So, like I said, they're starting to play good baseball as we near the home stretch here. So I'm trying to see if there's anything else. So, yeah, Houston, Yankees, Twins. Your wild cards right now are Cleveland and Oakland. Tampa Bay, Boston are both 1 game back. And then the Angels are 5.5. National League, you've got the Cubs/Cardinals. And then the Dodgers in Atlanta. Washington, Chicago, St. Louis, whoever doesn't have the division, are both the wild cards. And then you got the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Giants all sitting 1 and 2.5 games back. So Reds only 6.5 of the wild card too. So I don't know, all this talk about selling the squad. I just kind of wish they wouldn't sell it so quick. I love the Yasiel Puig. I love what he does to this team, but we'll see what happens. The Yankees, they need to get some pitching. They got rocked and shelled by the this weekend. They need to try to figure out a way to make some moves. Hell, they need to try to get Syndergaard if they can. I don't know if they've got what it takes from the Mets.
No, the Mets won't trade with them. Man, this is the time we need Lou, who's from the area, to call in, you know what I'm saying, to come with, you know what I'm saying, one of his zingers, inside zingers about what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees and like why they can't get a deal done. But, yeah, the Yankees do need a pitcher.
You're sending the bat signal out to Sweet Lou?
I'm sending the bat. Yeah, the bat signal's going out.
The bat signal is out to Sweet Lou. But, yeah, they need to – I don't know. The Mets get good, and they go terrible, and then they don't want to trade. It's almost like they just say, you know what, let's just be mediocre, and we'll play the rest of the season mediocre, and whatever attendance we get, we get.
Follow the pathwork of the Knicks. That's what they're doing.
Ooh. It's true. The Mets did scratch Ervin Santana from his AAA start today. Syndergaard is scheduled to pitch tonight. As far as I know, they are playing, and none of them has been traded yet. So we'll see. Syndergaard pitching tonight. And with that, to me, John, means that they're not going to trade him, because if they don't want to risk an injury, they probably sit the guy out and he wouldn't do his next start, especially with the deadline tomorrow. So.
Right, right.
That's all I have on that. John, anything? Let's hear your, you got some Ball State football?
I do. I think I'm going to wait for after our interview's over. We should be calling here in a little bit. But I did want to talk a little bit. WNBA All-Star Game was this weekend, and Fever guard Erica Wheeler, who's a representative of the Fever, believe it or not. I know sometimes we don't really talk, we don't really dig deep into WNBA basketball, but we are. I can't speak for you, but yourself, Brandon, but I catch a game every now and then. I do watch them, right? Fever aren't as – oh, wow. Oh, wow. Anyway, the Fever aren't as great as they have been in the past. Like I said, the record right now is like they're like 6-15. But Wheeler was our representation this year. It's our first time going to the All Star game at that. So first time going, and then guess what? She pulled out the MVP at that, and it's real emotional for her afterwards. Who she thanks? She thanks her mother. You know what I'm saying? Was an inspiration in her life, and. Thanks a whole lot, man. It's real touching. If you're into drama, you know what I'm saying, the over drama of that of the NBA and the WNBA can bring. But like, yeah, man, it's a real great story because also she's undrafted from 2015. No, she came out of Rutgers. I'm sorry, you know that's the basketball factory. You know what I'm saying on the women's side. Came out of Rutgers in 2013, and she bounced around between the Atlanta. The Liberty, you know what I'm saying, and parts in between, you know, Brazil, you know, they, you know, women's basketball is big internationally, bigger over there than it is here, right? But, you know, it's a great story, man. I encourage people, if you haven't, you know what I'm saying, obviously can't rewatch the game. I guess you could, but check her out a story for sure. Erica Wheeler, Fever guard.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mean no disrespect to the Fever. I haven't caught any. I've only caught two WNBA games this year, John, and and you could probably guess why I caught those two games.
You just like it when they win.
Come on, man. I won money.
Total transparency. When the home team's winning, I know every lady's name out there.
Stop it. I won two bets watching the WNBA this year. And I don't even know if I could – I could probably tell you maybe 10 players on total in the league. I don't know it like I used to. I probably stopped watching it. It's the summer, man. Nobody wants to watch basketball besides the big three or whatnot during the summer, and it's just –
the big three and TBT?
I like watching WNBA – or the women's college basketball. That's good at times. As long as you catch the right game, you don't get the blowouts.
Well, Brittany Griner's still dunking, so that ain't nothing changed. So she did it like 2 years ago. She's still dunking.
Diana Taurasi, she still play?
I think she does, dude. That's not good. We don't have a fact checker right now, man.
I'm trying to get more out of you. So, let's see. Yeah, we got our special guest Chris Woods going to be joining us here momentarily. I've kind of ran through my list today of everything I had. I was kind of running late because of my our golf outing this afternoon I did, but came back and took a nap, but I don't have very much on my list today besides after this interview, John. So I'm going to go with whatever you got.
That's cool. After we talk a little Ball State football and then we kind of wrap up. Maybe Sweet Lou's bat signal or answer for us.
Yeah, bat signal, Sweet Lou. Give us a call. We need it.
And we can talk to – or anybody else you want to call. What's the number? Tell us – man, you know what? We're terrible at Brandon telling people the number to call in. So what's the number to call
Absolutely.
In?
Call-in number is 929-477-3331. That's 929-477-3331 is a call-in number. If you're going to call in, make sure you talk. The last guy that called in got a little gun trigger shy, I guess, and didn't want to talk. We promise we don't bite. We banter with you. John, while we're waiting for him real quick, any quick things about the list that was sent out on Facebook, football movies list? You want to go over that a little bit?
Man, that list, for one, everybody thought it was an all sports list, man. I guess I think that's the precursor for that's what we need to do next, man, an all sports list. But, yeah, we made up all-time, you know what I'm saying, top 10 all-time greatest football movies list. And the reactions, man, I couldn't believe some of the reactions we got for it. And, like, a lot of people were not necessarily upset, but I took a question with us on why a movie like Necessary Roughness that features Sinbad wasn't on either one of our lists. but there was commonalities between me and your list. You unfortunately liked the new version with Adam Sandler of Longest Yard, man. That's an atrocious version of Longest Yard. And I don't think you had Any Given Sunday on your list.
I did. It was number 7.
Okay.
But I have a problem with you not.
Willie Bates.
How do you not have We Are Marshall, that's based on a true story of triumph over tragedy, on your list?
I don't think Marshall was a Max clue then, so I don't. Nah.
Oh, wow.
I thought the movie was a little dry.
Oh, my.
So it is. Everybody's a little dry, man.
Everybody's turning over in their graves. How do you disrespect We Are Marshall like that? Oh.
I'm not disrespecting what happened and how it happened and what transpired. I'm talking about the movie. Their adaptation.
Yep.
What happened? That's what I'm saying. That's not. That wasn't a good movie.
Oh.
At all.
You just don't like Matthew McConaughey, I think.
You didn't
Maybe
have Remember the Titans on your – did you have Remember
yeah.
the Titans on your list?
Yes, I did. That was number 2.
Okay. That should have been number 1.
And I just watched it. It was on TV 2 nights ago, and I just watched it, a little bit of it. So more to come with that. Leah, we have we just had Chris a minute ago. I don't know what happened to his call. So I think it dropped or he lost service.
Here you go.
I have We Are Marshall, Varsity Blues, Remember the Titans, Draft Day, great movie. How do you not have The Blind Side on there either? Are you kidding me, Big Mike? How do you not have Rudy? You're pissing the Notre Dame fan base off.
Good.
And then you got Little Giants. I've never seen Brian Song.
Like
never seen it.
The annexation of Puerto Rico. Come on, man. The annexation of Puerto Rico.
I've never seen Brian Song, by the way. So,
Dude, you'll cry.
I'll cry. Why don't I watch a football movie? It makes me cry.
Dude, it'll choke you up.
Friday Night Lights is good. I don't know what Wildcats is either. I think that was just one you threw on the list.
No, it's not. It's a movie with Goldie Hawn. You need to check it out. Goldie Hawn and Wesley Snipes.
Before we go to our interview real quick, truth be told, I've only seen half of North Dallas 40. So,
dude,
I fell asleep.
Anyway.
I fell asleep. So,
wow.
All right. Without further ado, got to bring on our special guest here. We've got Chris Woods joining us. Chris, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing good. Just kind of debating on our football list movie on our Facebook page, and it got some traction. So some people were upset with our movie list. So, but all great movies still. So John, I'll let you kick off the interview.
That's cool. Hey, Chris, man. This is Jonathan, of course.
Okay.
Glad to have you on. Glad to have you on. Cool, sweet. Well, we kind of want to, you know, tell everybody like a little bit about yourself. I know from stars you play, I had to. So, like Brandon, did you know that it's not Weber State, it's Weber State?
Yes, I knew that.
Did you? I didn't. I didn't. Cause
I did.
When I was talking with Chris earlier, a couple days ago, you know, to prepping for the interview, he was like, I kept on saying Weber State. Shame on me. And it's Weber State. He's like, no, it's Weber State. So. To the listening audience, Chris Woods played for Weber State back in the early
Weber.
You know what? It might be the Midwestern in me. It might be.
Man,
where's Weber State located at?
Oh, in Utah.
Oh my God. listening audience, Chris played for the University of Weber State. From 98 to 2000, I do believe. And he is now a motivational speaker. And, we just want to chat. We brought him on here because, I watched his videos. And there's no way you can't walk away from his videos and not be inspired to get off your rear end. If that's, you know what I'm saying, if you're engaged in wanting to do better. So like I said, that's why Chris is kind of on, and like we want to talk to him a little bit about, like I said, it's time. How did you, growing up, you're from East Chicago, correct?
Yeah, East Chicago, Indiana.
Okay. How does East Chicago kid playing basketball end up in Ogden, Utah?
Well, it was quite odd because we had three coaches on the staff at Weber State that happened to be from Indiana, from different parts of Indiana. We had a coach, John Stroyer. He was an assistant coach that's from Maryville. Another assistant coach, Kirk Earlywine, that's from Indianapolis, Indiana. Then the guy who eventually came to head coach, Joe Craven, he's from Scottsburg, Indiana. So we actually had five or six guys that was from the state of Indiana on the team at one time. So they did a lot of recruitment in the Midwest.
Nice.
Okay. Okay. So I would imagine. So what high school did you play at?
I played at East Chicago Central.
Okay. So I would imagine, but still, like, man, how did you escape all the Big Tens of the world and the smaller conferences that are around here in the MAC or in Missouri Valley and just end up in a place like we, what was it? Was there anything necessarily about the university that kind of just, besides, you know, the potential recruiting connections, of course, was there anything about the university that you?
For me, I always knew that I didn't want to go to school in the Midwest unless it was something big that I just couldn't pass up on. I wasn't going to really stay in the Midwest. I had seen everything that I could see in the Midwest. For me, basketball has always been a vehicle to travel and see the world and do things with. So that was always my thing. I could go, you know, and go across the country for free. Somebody's going to pay for it. Then when I went,
right,
you know, and they started the recruiting process, they showed me their schedule. And, you know, on the schedule, it was like, next summer after your freshman year, got a trip planned for Europe. We're going to Hawaii your freshman year. We're going back to Hawaii your junior year. You know, they had all of the everything already mapped out what they were doing. And to me, that was more of a selling point than anything because I've always been a competitor. So for me, if I see, okay, yeah, we got, you know, Wisconsin on the schedule, so I want to go beat Wisconsin. I don't care nothing about playing for them. I'm competitive in that way that I think, you know, all of the people that's supposed to be good, you know, I'm one of those type of guys, okay, well, come show me. So that was always my thing, you know, so I always wanted to go somewhere where I'd be able to compete against the big dogs, and Weber State allowed me to do that.
Okay, okay. What was – I know everybody talked about the Weber State game where Weber State knocked off North Carolina. What was the next – it was a great game, right? I want you to talk about that a little bit. I also want you to talk about the next game, which was, I think, they played Florida.
Florida. That was against Florida. So that was my freshman year. To be honest, when we played North Carolina, you know, a lot of people were surprised by us beating them. But as soon as we – you know, when they do the draw, the NCAA draw, you wait Selection Sunday. As soon as we drew North Carolina, our head coach – stood up in the group and he was like, "Oh, we're gonna beat them easy." He waved his hand at the screen and walked up. We were sitting on the they had a big screen. They pulled a big screen and put it out right at half court. So we were sitting on the court with all of our fans. He stood up, waved his hand at the screen, and walked up to his office. and it was like, so the next game after we beat them, because we went in with full confidence that we were gonna beat them. Like there was no, and it wasn't like we came from behind or something. We were in control of that game the entire game. It was like it wasn't like it was like some fluke. And everything that we had did all year, that's what we did in that game. Like when Harold Arsenault was going off and everybody was like, "Oh, this guy, he had been doing that the entire year." That was how – we didn't do anything any different than what we had been doing all year. The next game when we played Florida, and Florida actually ended up going on to win a national championship, we had control of that game the entire game. The only reason why we lost that game was because our coach at the time, Rhonda Beglin, it was one time that I saw in my life where your ego could get you in trouble. You know, he was a great coach. And it was just, he had a thought out loud. And he was like, I think we should go zone. And he thought that out loud. And then, you know, those NCAA tournament timeouts, it's like 4 minutes, 5 minutes long. You're just sitting there. And when he said that out loud, all of the assistant coaches at the same time, like, was like, no. So when they yelled out no, he was like, damn it, this is my team. We going zone. And as soon as we went out and came back out into a zone, they hit three, boom, boom, boom. And they just knocked down three shots in a row, took the momentum, and we still had a chance to win because we had a shot at the end of the game. One of my teammates, Noel Jackson, he got fouled shooting a three. He made the first free throw, missed the second free throw, and made the third free throw. And we went into overtime. Had he made the second or the three free throws, if he made all three free throws, we win the game. So, you know, that was we had a pretty good team. It was an older team. So that's why we were, you know, we had a very, very experienced team. We had a couple guys that had came back off of Mormon missions. So they were like 25 years old as seniors. You know, we had a couple, you know, we had several junior college transfers, a couple fifth-year seniors. So it was an older team. You know, and for me being on that team, that was actually a maturing process for me, just being around players who were just – it was nothing I could do. It was just like they were bigger, stronger, faster, smarter. And it was just like I was a kid playing against grown men every day, and that helped sharpen me. I mean, it was kind of just took me back to my childhood, you know, and that just helped me become better as a player and as a human being.
Okay. I know people always pick those two games, man. Is there any other game that kind of stands out in your mind that you played? You was like, man, if you could just brag about, like, you know what I'm saying, when you talk to your kids about it, it's like, man, this is my best game. Is there any other game that kind of stand out in your mind?
I mean, in college or just overall in my professional career in college?
Yeah,
overall. So when we had a when I was my senior year, we went to Hawaii in the Big Island Invitational. We won that my senior year. We beat LSU, beat Wisconsin, beat Colorado State for the championship. So we had you know, knocked off all the, you know, the big conference, big name teams, and you know, we felt pretty good about that. I had a game when I was in Europe playing against, and I was in Switzerland playing against Lugano, which at the time they were a EuroLeague team. And I had about 53 points, 12 rebounds, and like 8 assists. You know, that was putting in work. Yeah, that was a pretty big game for me. I've had some experiences playing basketball. It's just funny, you know, talking about it, because the funny thing about me in basketball is that I've never ever considered myself to be a good basketball player. I've never looked at myself and considered myself to be good. You know, I'm just a real competitive person. I've always been productive, you know, but any team that I've been on has always been people that shoot the ball better, handle the ball better, pass the ball better. They could run faster, jump higher. The difference between me and most people that I'm on the court with when I'm on the court is that most people don't want to compete and fight. That's what I came to do. You know, I always say, like, I've never played a nervous basketball game. Like, I never went into a basketball game nervous. And it's crazy to me when people talk about being nervous playing basketball. It's like, it's almost like a pit bull. You see when a pit bull on the chain and they trying to get loose, like, they ain't running from the fight. They trying to run to it. And that's how I always approach basketball. Like, I'm trying to get out here. I want to be out here. You know, so it was always that way. I can remember being in college and telling my coach, he looked at me, it was my freshman year, and we were playing at, this was when the Utah Jazz used to play at the Delta Center, and we were playing against Utah State at the Delta Center, and it was sold out, and he looked at me, he was like, you're not going to be nervous to get out here, and I started laughing in his face, and I said, coach, I grew up playing basketball against convicted felons. Why would I be scared to go out here and play against them? The mentality of it, I didn't understand. Like, so when people talk about being nervous playing basketball, I don't get it, because the circumstances in which I grew up playing basketball, like, I grew up playing basketball against some people that would really do something to you. So how could I be scared going out here against these college kids that's, you know, some nice kids from the suburbs? Like, I'm not, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right, right. I got you. So how many leagues did you play in during your tenure? How many years did you play in?
So I played,
seven years, Brett?
I played 7 years, and I played, I want to say four or five different leagues.
Okay.
Four or five different leagues. I played 7 years. I played two and a half years in the Netherlands. I played 2 years in Iceland and Switzerland. I played in Germany. Played in Austria. And I've been able to, those were the countries that I was stationed in and were my teams where I played in those leagues. But, of course, we traveled throughout Europe as well doing it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Chris, how crazy is it that you mentioned earlier, coming up from East Chicago Central and you travel across the United States. But looking back at it now, you're like, man, I'm just a kid from East Chicago Central and I'm playing across the country. I'm playing in different countries across the world. Like, looking back at it, just how great was that for you? And kind of what that shows to anybody from East Chicago or in that area, you know what, I can do this or whatnot,
So that was my very first year playing ball overseas. I was leaving out of my apartment, and I stayed like right off of the Lake of France. And I was coming out of my apartment. I'm looking at the lake. As I'm walking through, I'm looking, and I was like, I wonder if anybody else from East Chicago ever walked on the street. That's what I thought to myself when I looked at it. I wonder if anybody else in the history of East Chicago ever walked here. And I'm looking how the sun was shining off of the lake. And at that point in time, I just took off running. Like, I was supposed to be going to work out, but I just took off running. I ran straight to an electronics store, and I bought my first laptop computer. And I just spent the whole rest of the day just writing about everything, every experience I had in life. And I had kept that, so that was my, like, at that point I had felt like, like I made it, because that's what I was thinking, like, damn, I made it. I probably wasn't in the NBA or nothing like that, but I made it further than anybody could think of. And when you look at it, like, from a statistical standpoint, I think it's something like 0.01% that goes on to play professional basketball out of all basketball players in high school. So to be in that type of elite company, it's like me, just like me out of everybody, me. So that was something. Like, that was something. I can't attribute it to nothing else but my mother and my father and the lessons that they taught me about, self-accountability and hard work. I think that was just at the end of the day, that was the recipe for success for me.
Okay.
Well,
beautiful.
That's a great transition to our listening audience, because as I'm getting ready to shed light on, you are an advocate of reading. You also have written some of your own books, and like I said, another two part question. So how did that moment you just kind of shared with us when you wrote everything? How did that help you become your own self-published writer?
So When I started just writing it down, writing all my feelings and thoughts down, it was like necessarily like I didn't know what I was actually doing. It just felt like that was what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
I had wrote from, that was maybe like 2002, three around that time maybe. And I had wrote from that time probably about 2006. And somebody had stole my computer. So with all that writing for all that time, somebody had stole it. So I had a notebook, and I had started, over from the notebook and started writing in the notebook. Then I end up leaving the notebook in Helsinki, Finland. So I was just like kind of like, forget it. I ain't worried about it. I ain't doing it no more. Then at one point I was in the flea market in Gary, walking through the flea market, and this guy walked up to me. And come to find out, he was a pastor of the church that was next to it. He walked over to me and he grabbed my hand, and he was like, "I don't know." He was like, "I don't know you," and he was like, "And I don't know what you're doing." He was like, "But it's something that you started that you need to finish."
Wow.
And I just looked at him, And the only thing that I could think of that I had started that I didn't finish was writing my book. So
okay.
I had got back to it and started writing it. And in the midst of me losing my computer, having my notebook, starting all the way over, I created, in the midst of all this, I created a method of writing and organizing ideas. And in the midst of that, it made it so much easier for me to write books. It just made it so much easier for me. And then once I got the method, I've always been the type of person that I'm not selfish, so I always know if I figure out a faster way to tie shoes, I'm going to show you how to tie the shoes too. You know, now
okay.
what you do with it is totally up to you. So that's what I did. I figured out a way to write books and how to publish them on your own that doesn't cost you anything. And I said, you know what, this would be something cool to teach kids, because I could remember going through school, K through 12, and I didn't learn one thing that could teach me how to live on my own, to teach me how to make my own money, to be my own man, to be – nothing taught me that in K through 12. And I said, it would be great if I could just walk into a school for 45 minutes and teach some kids something that could change their life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got to the point of going – teaching students how to write and publish their own books as well.
Okay. I'm actually checking out one of your books right now on Amazon. Actually, I'm kind of reading some of it. The looks like The Seven Selves of Success.
Yep.
You want to talk a little bit about that book and kind of what entitles with that?
Yeah, so that book is – that's actually my – of the three that I have done, that's probably my favorite, because that's the one that really goes into in depth of what my father taught me about. If you want to be successful, then you can't waste time looking at somebody else. You know, oftentimes where we will look and we'll try to find somebody to blame. And I always say that our life, no matter who you are, your life is basically like you're affected by glass. And you got two types of glass. You have mirrors and you have windows. People who are successful, they spend time looking in mirrors. And people who are unsuccessful, they always looking out windows. And when you look out a window, you could find somebody to blame. And it's like, oh, well, I'm unsuccessful because my mother owned drugs, or I'm unsuccessful because my father wasn't around, and I'm unsuccessful because my teachers don't like me. But people who are successful, they look in the mirror and they see the reason why something's not working. And that's what that book is basically about, holding yourself accountable. It's about looking at life from an introspective way opposed to being, you know, from an extrinsic point of view.
Okay. Perfect. John, what you got?
I just want to talk a little bit more about I want you to talk a little bit more about your work when you go from school, your inspirational work. Like, I've been struggling, like, you know, everywhere on the internet says, "Let's go, Chris Woods." I've been struggling through this whole interview not to say, "Hey, let's go, Chris Woods." Like, I'm sorry to introduce you, man, but like, I can't sell it any shorter. I mean, I can't sell it short, man. Like, when the listeners, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, who aren't familiar with you, go on the internet and check out your videos. I think it's so impactful that somebody from my personal standpoint, I think it's so impactful when somebody, you know what I'm saying, takes their time out and does that. So, what does that make you feel like when you go into a school and you get to talk to a large group of teenagers, and how do you kind of get their attention?
So how I get their attention is, you know, it's just straight up, you know, and to the point, you know. How many of y'all want to do something with your life? And the ones that do, this is for you. And the ones that don't, this is not. And more times than not, people want to be successful, but not often do they feel like they can. And with writing, reading and writing, this is one, writing a book and dealing with stocks, those two things, there is no discrimination involved with that. And I always tell people, if I write a book, no one knows if I'm black. They don't know if I'm white. They don't know if I'm a man. They don't know if I'm a woman. I could put a book out and I could be anybody I want to be. I don't have to put Chris Woods on the back of it. I don't have to put my picture on it. I just could put the work out and let the work speak for itself. And there's right. no so from that standpoint, if you want to be successful, here's a way that you can do it. And it ain't nobody to blame but you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nobody, and there's nobody that could take the success but you. You sit down and you do this. And I take that so serious because it's been studies that have shown that creative writing is the fastest way and the most effective way to improve literacy. So
okay.
I think that literacy, like a lot of times you hear people, and this is just, you know, my outside of the box thinking, like you hear people argue about like certain things, like going out to vote, and they would say like, you know, the people before you, they gave their life for you to go vote, and you don't want to go vote. And then those same people who would say that, you ask them, well, when the last time you read a book? And then they'd be like, well, I don't read. Well, then, fool, don't you understand that them same people put their life on the line so you could be able to read legally too?
Right, right.
You know, so
right.
so reading is the single most important skill that you could ever develop. Because there's no job or nothing effective that you can do without reading.
Right. Everything revolves around it. Correct.
It revolves around reading. So I believe that before we could give any child any skill, we have to teach them the fundamentals. It's just like with basketball. If I don't know how to dribble the ball standing still, what difference does it make if I could do a crossover between the legs, step back? You know, we have to build up the foundation. So for me, that's always been, you know, my motivating force is just to make sure that I'm impactful on somebody's life when I leave the planet. That's simple and plain. I just want to leave a mark, and as I go on and as I transition through life, and somebody mm-hmm. down the line, whether they know it was from me or not, it's like their life was changed because of the work that I did. And if that, you know, is fulfilled, then, you know, I feel like I lived a full life, you know, and that's the biggest thing of it all. So one experience that I had, well, most people would get upset and angry, but it didn't anger me. I was still happy that the mission was fulfilled. There was a guy, he was in Detroit, he was doing the camp. I won't say any names, so I don't want to, you know, cause no confusion or anything, but he was doing
right.
the camp. And I reached out to him, and I was like, hey, could I come to your camp and, you know, teach your campers how to write their own books? And he was like, how would you do that? And I explained everything to him, and he was like, I never thought about that. That's a good idea. You know, and I keep reaching out to the guy and make sure that we're on the same page. And I told him, I don't want any money. I could drive myself to Detroit. I'll come do it for free. And he went on with his camp, and he had somebody else come teach the kids how to write the books.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't bother me, though, because at the end of the day, the mission is to make sure these kids have certain information. Had I never
right.
called him and told him that, he would have never thought to do that.
Yep.
So whether it's me or somebody else doing the job, I don't care as long as the work is getting done.
Okay. I got you.
You know,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
100%.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Chris, do you still follow the program or even the college game?
I do. I watch more college than I do pro, but I do watch the NBA.
Okay.
How's your pickup
Ooh.
Game? Can you still go out and get some buckets?
Absolutely not. Oh man.
Uh-oh.
You know, everybody always see me and they're like, man, you look like you still in shape. I was like, I am, but that don't mean I can still play basketball. I still exercise. I try to eat decent. You know, I still go out and jog, but you know, I'm afraid to I do physical therapy now. That's you know, my day job. I'm just
okay.
I see so many people coming in hurt, you know, from being in the gym messing around. It's like, man, I do not want to be on the other end of this.
No sports injuries.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yep.
Well, who are you kind of excited to see
Do you still follow the Big Sky Conference? I ask you that.
I do. I follow only two teams. I follow in the Big Sky: Eastern Washington and Weber State. And Weber State, you know, of course, because that's my alma mater. And Eastern Washington because their coach Shante Liggins. I played with him 2 years in the Netherlands. So he's the head coach now at Eastern Washington. So I follow those two teams.
Okay. All right. I'm always curious, man. There's some late night games usually for me, man. And
So for the people who don't know, Weber State has, you know, one of the top guards in the country, Jared Harding. You know, a lot of people don't know about him because again, he's out west. But if you Google him, you know, you'll see, you know, he's a 20-point scorer. And he's been that, you know, so he's a lefty. He could really put the ball in the hole. You know, I definitely know that he can play at the next level. You know, will he?
Uh-oh.
You know, we'll see. But I know that he definitely can.
Right. Okay. I'm going to put him on my radar. Now they're on my radar. I'm going to take my Hoosier bias out of him and put him on my radar.
Yeah, we gotta talk Weber State more now.
Yeah, you gotta check them out. You gotta check them out.
For sure. Well, man, hey, Chris, let's go, Chris Woods. That's what I'm gonna call you, man. Let's go, Chris Woods. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you coming on, man. Sharing your story, man. I know you guys. I know you got some more that you can go in definitely. But we only promise. You know, what I'm saying, you know, maybe a half hour or so, man. But we would definitely like to have you back on. At some other point.
Oh, no question.
Later on. But, like, if you got any, you know, shout-outs or parting words or where people can find more of your videos or you know, say Twitter handle, whatever, man, go ahead and shoot it.
Okay, so you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, at Let's Go C Woods, letsgochriswoods.com. You know, if you go there, you can pretty much connect to me any way you need to, and you can get to my books from letsgochriswoods.com, and they'll shoot you to my Amazon author page. And, you know, anybody that's interested, you know, in doing a book writing workshop, you know, if it's, you know, kids or adults, you know, give me a call, 219-433-5336. That's 219-433-5336. That's the Let's Go hotline. So, what I would hope that everybody, you know, can get from me if they take away nothing else is just understand that, you know, you have the power to be as great as you want to be. You know, if you work hard, if you work smart, if you work consistent, you could be whatever you want to be, you know. And that's what I believe really and truly. I think that, you know, there's no limit to your ability and there's no limit to your achievements. You know, as far as your mind can think, that's as far as your body can go. So, just keep believing and keep achieving. Let's go.
Beautiful. John, I'm ready to run through a wall now.
There's business, man. Man, thanks, Chris, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Chris.
No problem. Yep.
All right. That was our man. Let's go, Chris Woods. John, I'm motivated. I'm ready to roll, my man.
I told you.
Yeah. I definitely want to dive a little bit deeper with his upbringing next time as well, because, you know what, like my biggest question still, I guess, is I've got a pen and paper or I've got a computer in front of me. How do I know where to begin and what to begin with when writing a book or something? You know?
Yeah. Because Well, I just assume, man. He said he started writing down his experiences, and they kind of went from there.
Yeah. Absolutely. I did like the story because I actually did read on his in my prep work for him ahead of time about when he first decided to write, when he was outside going to work out and that premonition that he had, like, oh my gosh, I've got something to do. And he said a few of those. So yeah, it's awesome. Great interview. Let's go, ChrisWoods.com. At Let's Go C Woods on Instagram and Twitter. He's on Facebook too. Let's Go C Woods. So check him out, buy a book, support him. Books are on Amazon. You can find it very easily. Shout out Chris Woods. So awesome interview. All right, John, where do you want to go next, my man? Cause I have nothing on my sheet left. So we'll go to you.
We can talk a little Ball State football, man. Ball State is both as Crossroad listeners will agree. I'll let them know again. We are both alumni with Ball State University. And you know what I'm saying, with that being said, they've kind of upped the ante and they've upped their visibility. They're trying to, right? They're trying to up their visibility of the program. And we've had Coach Elson on earlier on a few episodes back, a defense coordinator from Ball State University, talking about the program. And like, you know what I'm saying, I'm kind of excited about it. I'll talk about it right now. Me and Brandon actually got we got our press credentials, you know what I'm saying, to go to games, to attend Ball State games. We still haven't got all the particulars run out just yet, but we do have our press credentials to go to Ball State and to kind of, you know what I'm saying, learn and what, you know what I'm saying, and come back and digest what, you know what I'm saying, Ball State University is, you know what I'm saying, kind of rubbing their hands together when it comes to their football program. Are they going to be Alabama in the next 10 years? Absolutely not. I don't think that is their goal, but I think their goal is to kind of get on the football map to where they can potentially kind of go after the same kind of recruits with the same kind of, you know what I'm saying, expectation that IU and Purdue go after. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, with all that being said, you know, Ball State hooked us up and gave us some pressure credentials, man, and we're going to make the most of it. Me and Brandon are going to go through the list of games, and we're going to come back and we're going to attend them and watch them and gather questions and gather answers, you know, some back from the coaching staff. And then we're going to come back and report it, or actually maybe even do some live work. Right, Brandon?
Absolutely.
But you know, we are excited. We won't be totally homers on the program if they, you know what I'm saying, we'll be totally professional when it comes to Ball State football. But like I said, I'm real excited about it. And, you know what I'm saying, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that Ball State actually has like 9 guys in the MAC all preseason media preview. So, you know,
yep.
Coaches tabulate all this information together. Guys who are turning back for their juniors and, you know what I'm saying, red shirt, senior year, whatever, are going to come back. And Ball State has like 9 players who will probably at some point get they received MAC honors already. So I'm not gonna go through the whole list. There's 2 wideouts that I think everybody, you know what I'm saying, we ain't talking about guys, you know what I'm saying, who are 6'5", 6'9", but you know, we're talking about guys who are very dependable and very what do I want to say, Brandon, like a utility knife. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
When it comes to like these wideouts. So Riley Miller, who made the first team, you know, for Ball State University, and Justin Hall, another wideout, who also made the second team. So Ball State, you know what I'm saying, going into this season, I know when we had Coach Elson on earlier in the year, he was talking about getting some more consistency with his linebacking core, and he does have that. He has 2 starters returning as well. They also on the list of second teamers on the defense. Noodle's name, Jacob White, and oh my God, what's the other kid's name?
Ray Wilburn.
Thank you, Wilburn. Thank you. Escape me. I think White's case is like he's a senior year kind of guy. I don't want to speak for him. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to speak for him from a physical standpoint or what, you know what I'm saying. I think the total goal for everybody on this team is to get into the consideration for top 3 in the MAC. Defensively, I think they're there. You know what I'm saying? They have the returning pieces. You know what I'm saying? They have, like I said, they will have the consistency this year. Will they have the offense? It's kind of like my question. But like I said, they have 2 dependables, the 2 rideouts who are, like I said, all MAC, Riley Miller and Justin Hall. They lead. I think Miller is like 2nd in the MAC in receptions. And like Hall was, and like the Hall kid is like number 1 overall in MAC yards or something like that. You know, it's crazy stats. You know what I'm saying? But they don't get to the their issue last year and the years prior is making touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? And like
they've been hurt as well. You know, the injury bug's been them really bad the last 2 years. So as the season progressed,
right. The other kid I want to talk about, I know, as I talked to you about both the wideout and the linebackers. The other kid I want to talk about is Danny Pinter, an old offensive lineman who's converted tight end. He played a lot. He played tight end when he first got to Ball State, but he's converted old lineman that they kind of expect some big things out of. So like I said, I didn't necessarily say the quarterback was in the top five or top four on any of the list or whatever. But they do. Then the running back. Oh my God! Shame on me. I didn't write his name. I'm gonna get that information to you ASAP, Brandon. But the running back is also
Caleb Huntley.
Yeah, he's one of the nine. He's also one of the nine that they're expecting. So the offense seems like it's kind of set, dependent upon who the quarterback is. If you read the tea leaves, you know what I mean. So, like I said, Ball State's trying to. They're not kicking in the door, you know what I'm saying, telling everybody they're going to this bowl game or that bowl game. They're just trying to – I think they're trying to build into consistent top three in the MAC, and this is going to be their first year and their first step.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the – you know, Andrew – I probably say his name wrong. Andrew Pochnek tabbed – he's going to be in the Remington watch list for a second straight year for linemen. Riley Miller, we talked about. The Blitnoff – I said that, I always say that wrong. Blitnikoff Award for wide receivers, best wide receivers list. So yeah, a lot of great things. And you know, with John, I'm trying to. One of the first games I'm going to try to go to, John, for us to go to for Ball State football. We have to go, Crossroads Nation, September 14th. We have to go to this game, John. It's Florida Atlantic comes to town. Lane Kiffin. We got Kiffin. John, this may be a 70-70 game. Sorry, Coach Elson. I hope it's not. But this thing could be a shootout. But Lane Kiffin bringing the Owls. We're going to Muncie, baby. So Big Lane trying to put the Cardinals on the schedule. So
I hope it is a 65-70 game. I really do.
But don't let Coach Elson hear that. He won't like it.
I won't let him know that.
So, but no, we're going to report on the games up there. Absolutely. We're going to report on the campus. I look forward to hearing John, and I'll try to record the audio for the show. But John asking some hard-hitting questions to Coach New and to Lane Kiffin. You just got to be quick with it. You can't be stumbling with those questions. The other media members eat you up.
Cool. That's good. I got Lane Kiffin in my crosshairs.
Oh, boy. Here we go. anything else, John? I really don't. It's been kind of a slow week, really. Football's just starting to ramp up, so it's probably going to be our last real slow week, I would think.
Yeah, I don't have anything else, man. I do appreciate everybody listening, family, friend, new listeners. You know what I'm saying? When people come on, interconnect with us on the live show, crossover. Which will be, I know sometime later on this week, there'll be an announcement for that as well. But I appreciate everybody, you know what I'm saying, listening and also now people giving me things that they want to talk about on the show. You know what I'm saying? Y'all should talk, you know what I mean? But that's a whole nother issue. So but I do appreciate everybody listening.
Absolutely. I would be remiss, John. We haven't heard it in a while. I had to play it.
That I'm the dirtiest player
Rick
in the Blair,
game. You lost your mind.
The dirty. I'm writing a book right now. The dirtiest.
Chris Woods, write the book right now.
I will stop at nothing to stay on top. Stop at nothing. I will not move out of that big house. I will drive nothing but Mercedes or Rolls Royce. I will go nowhere on a commercial airliner. I will ride in nothing but limousines. And I will make love to nothing but the best looking women in the world. You know why? Because I'm a winner. At all costs.
He is the winner, John. And I hope for our Crossroad listening audience, you caught some of the reunion with Ric Flair coming out there, Hogan, Stone Cold. Stone Cold had a great moment out there.
I
had
you had
to have caught. Oh,
I
my God.
I have to check it out.
You didn't catch the ABA new tag champs crown last night.
Gallows and... The other
yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see with that. Finn Balor injured, had to spend the night in the hospital. So the Intercontinental title is kind of up in grabs now with Shinsuke. You got Brock Lesnar, still your champ, going into SummerSlam. SummerSlam is starting to go figured out. I think we got 2 weeks until SummerSlam, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, and then, and you've been very much promoting AEW, how much you can't wait for TNT, for AEW. What, and I'm going to ask you this, I'm going to put you on the spot, and it's probably the question that Cody Rhodes and all them kind of asked themselves. What does AEW have to do on that very first 2-hour show to be successful and to set the tone for the rest of the year?
I don't think, like, is there anybody, well, I mean, Moxley will be there, but he's already over. He's already kind of like somebody, there's really nothing like how WCW did where they can bring over Lex Luger when Lex Luger was supposed to be on Raw, but he shows up on, you know what I'm saying, Nitro. There's really nothing like you could do that other than, drum roll, having CM Punk show up or somebody who's kind of like on the outside. But like that would be the guy. CM Punk would be the guy that you would want to show up that night.
Uh-huh.
So maybe, and I don't know what they want to do with him if he does. I mean, because it does, like, what's he doing right now? I don't want to go on CM Punk rant, but what's he doing right now?
MMA. MMA announcing.
Yeah, man. He's not even a good MMA wrestler, dude. I mean, fighter, though, dude. Mm. So give it up. He's not. But he is a personality, and he does, and he is pretty good with a mic, and he does have heat, you know what I'm saying, with the rival organization. So why not book him on a upstart organization and get heat? You know what I'm saying? At least for a month. Nobody said you had to be married to CM Punk.
Yeah. It's true. Put a little contract. I'm kind of anxious also to see Kenny Omega and what he's going to bring to the weekly show.
Yeah, him
with
too.
With that. And, yeah, I think it's going to be good. Good. I'm anxious. October's going to come quick for that first show. It's going to feel – and I believe, John, it's going to be on – Thursday nights or Wednesday nights? Yeah, Wednesday nights or Thursday nights?
Yes, I think it's Wednesday nights on TNT.
Okay, so it's after Raw, after SmackDown, and then
yeah.
SmackDown actually moves to Fridays on Fox in October as well. So
that's going to be weird.
And they're going to have a show on FS1 each week as well. So,
okay.
Man, John, you got too much hate right now for WWE. We got to get you back in. They can't. Now, we're going to throw this to our listeners and see what they want. By the way, Bat Signal is out still. Sweet Lou, if you're listening, we need you to call in. We got to talk the Mets. We got to talk the Giants. We got to talk everything East Coast sports. We got a little bit of time left. But I forget where I was going with this before my Sweet Lou rant. Phone number to call again is 929-477-3331. That's 929-477-3331. You don't need to press the pound sign. You'll get squat if you call us. So just be ready to talk. Some of them. John, also looking with college football coming up, we're less than a month away. The big one, Ball State and IU are going to open up at Ruoff Kickoff Classic at Lucas Oil Stadium. Should be a great game, John. We'll do it another year of our pick'ems. So stay tuned. We'll have our pick'ems coming up here in a couple weeks for week one. Also, you'll probably get a little gambling corner from me since gambling is now legal here in the state of Indiana. You'll probably get a gambling corner and probably see me. You'll get the great reaction videos when I win a bet. You'll get those reaction videos when I lose a bet and I'm ready to self-destruct. You'll get them all. And that's what Crossroads is going to do. It's all about content, John. Content, content, content. We're going to get it out to our people. That's what they love. They love seeing interactions. They probably love to see me lose a little bit in sports. Hey, who wouldn't? You know, they also like to see me win. They did get to see me collapse when Virginia hit that shot to go to overtime with Purdue. I've had that sent to me several times as a GIF, the reactions. So
devastating shot. That's why.
Absolutely. Go ahead and order, by the way, your Carson Edwards jersey from the Celtics. It is available. So go ahead and make that. Oh, I got to ask you, John. You put it on Facebook, but we got to put it on here. LeBron James going through the layup line for his son's game.
Man.
Everybody's talking it.
It's not overblown, but it is overblown, man. Don't you folks understand already by now? LeBron James is an attention seeker. That's all it is. If your 35-year-old father could, if your 35-year-old father could dunk, I would want him to dunk. I don't know, man. it's kind of from that team's coaching standpoint, that would be irritating. You know what I mean? That would be very irritating. And like how, and like, again, I don't even know how you could coach LeBron James' son. I don't know. If you're a coach, how could you coach your son? He's going to tell you better than a kid's going to tell you better than what you know. You know what I'm saying? But it's just an attention seeking thing with LeBron. You know what I'm saying? My first reaction was, oh, okay, man, you're going to play in the dunk. You're going to participate in the dunk contest this year. Because you're going to dunk in some kid's layup line. That's what you might as well do. That's what people kind of want them to do anyway, but it's not going to happen. But I don't think – like a lot of guys was, like, just, you know, dissecting it, like, why he did it. Like, I'm talking a lot of sports heads, sports nuts, man. I'm like, dude, it's overblown, man. He's an attention seeker. That's what he wants to do. But he's 35 years old, and he can still get up like that, man. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. That's true. I don't have a problem with him supporting his son and being there and all that stuff, but get out of the layup line. I understand you make money, but do we want all dads to start getting these layup lines for the kids?
Good call. You're right. Because if it was a ball, we would be like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Also, and also, even going on the court during the games after a play, like, sit your butt down, enjoy your son's game. I'm on both sides, I guess, because I feel bad for Bronny. The fact that he can't sit there and play a game. Well, he might sometimes when his dad's not around, but play a game and feel relaxed and not have to worry about, like, everybody's watching him instead of everybody watches him real quick, but then LeBron's reaction. You get it? You see what I mean? Like, put the focus on your son. And I know that's hard when you're a star athlete and you're a polarizing figure like that, but man, just relax, let your kid do what he can, and enjoy it that way.
Right.
So,
I see it that way. I totally see what you're saying.
Okay. John, any final things, my man, before we let you go? Let us both go,
man,
I guess.
I can't wait to get started on next week, and I can't wait for everybody to listen to what we got planned for next week. So.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Be sure to Be sure to subscribe, share, retweet. It'll be on the Facebook page. It'll be on iTunes and everything. Thanks for joining us. John, final thing.
Good night. Thanks for listening.
Crossroads Sports.